Good morning. Today, it'll be a little bit different of a service. The building committee will be coming up shortly to talk about the building expansion project. The expansion is to address the classroom shortage, the parking lot shortage, and the desire to have a concurrent English and Chinese service, as well as have a fellowship hall. We'll be spending a lot of time, money, effort, and resources on this building committee. So I thought it would be fitting to call today's sermon, "Will We Labor in Vain for the Building Committee? Will We Labor in Vain for the Building Committee?" And the reason, like I said, is we're going to be spending a lot of time on this. And the last thing we want to do is be like a hamster running along a wheel, doing a lot of work, but actually going nowhere. And the reason I call it that is because every day as I'm sitting in my office, this picture is directly across from my desk. It is a picture of our church when it was first built 78 years ago. It has the word from Psalms 127, 1 up there. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain. It is a reminder for me every day that GCBCR can be the wealthiest, busiest, smartest church, but unless the Lord builds and bless us, then we labor in vain. And I saw these two extremes this past week. Earlier this week, I was at a leadership conference, and I was talking to a pastor of a 400 seating capacity church. But on any given Sunday morning, only 90 people were there. And then earlier that week, I was speaking at a revival weekend where the church had recently moved into a new facility back in February because of the growth they have been experiencing. And so I wonder, in 3, 5, 10 years, which one will GCBCR be? The one with a big facility but with barely anyone in it? Or the other church that's bustling with life, that have so much people, the current facility can't hold them in? Which community do you desire to be part of? And more importantly, the question we all need to be asking is, how do we become a community that the Lord builds? How do we become a community that doesn't labor in vain? These are critical questions that we're going to explore today as we go through the message. Now we're going to look at two biblical accounts. One where they did labor in vain, and I want us to see the consequences. And the other story in scripture which we're going to look at is that the people didn't labor in vain. In fact, God blessed them so much that they got afraid. I want us to see the result of what happened to them as well. What can we learn from these two historical accounts? The first one we're going to look at is from the Tower of Babel. Tower of Babel from Genesis 11. Now, the background here is that the people of the earth back then, there weren't a whole lot of them because we are still at the beginning of scripture. And they came together and said, hey, let's build something up to the heavens so that we can make a name for ourselves. And so I want us to read from Genesis 11 verse 4. It says, then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we'll be scattered over the face of the whole earth. And on verse 9, we see the result of this. Verse 9 says, this is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. Their motivation was to build a city with a tower that reaches to the heaven. If we look at what the real motivation is, it's really pride, right? They built this and say, look at us. Look at what an amazing city we can build. Look at what an amazing tower we can build. We want to make a name for ourselves. It's self-glory. We want people to see how amazing we are as people. And the result was devastating. They labored in vain. God confused their language, scattered them around. If you look back at verse 4, that was their fear. It says, otherwise we'll be scattered over the face of the earth. And God brought their deepest, darkest fear to light. They were indeed scattered because of their pride. And so they spent so much time building a city, so much time building a tower, and it was all pointless, in vain. And so we think about our church. It is a very easy trap to fall into. Pride gets all of us. When we're going through the building two-phase project, it is very easy for us to say, hey, look at our facility. Hey, look at how many people we have. Hey, look at our resources. It's very easy to take pride in the work we do and point the glory to ourselves. And what is the result? God could easily scatter us. He could cause disunity and conflict in the church. He could cause natural disasters like fires and hurricanes, and we could lose our facility in the blink of an eye. All kinds of things could happen if pride begins to take over. And indeed, we would labor in vain because the God is not the builder of this house. Now, I want us to turn to Luke chapter 5 and look at another example where they did not labor in vain and where God was the builder of the house. Luke chapter 5, verse 4. When he, Jesus, had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night. We haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let it down." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knee and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John and the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. What were the motivation of the fishermen? Well, first of all, these were professional fishermen. They knew what they were doing. They had been laboring all night and there was no result. And Jesus was just a rabbi, right? He's not a fisherman. Absolutely not a professional fisherman. And so when Jesus came and said, "Lower your nets," of course, the professional fishermen like Simon Peter would doubt. In fact, he could feel pride and say, "I know what I'm doing. I'm the pro here, not you, Jesus." But I want us to see what they did. They lowered their pride, they showed humility, and they actually obeyed Jesus. Even though they doubted, what was the result? Their nets got so full, it started breaking. They brought in a second boat, and that got so full, it began to sink. Then finally, at the end, it says they followed Jesus. They recognized Jesus' power. They recognized that when God bless you, it becomes overflowing. In fact, it says they were afraid. They did not know how to process what had just happened because God has just showed them something supernatural. And that's the application to our church at GCPCR. As we go through this building project, the most important thing for us to show is humility. We don't know it all. We have to follow Jesus even when we are in doubt and sit back and watch our amazing God move in powerful ways to put down that pride, to take on humility. And so let me close today and ask us the same question. Which is GCBCR? What kind of legacy are we going to live? Are we going to be like the Tower of Babel that labors in vain? Or are we going to be the fisherman who was overwhelmed with fear, but yet still continued to obey in humility because they experienced God in such an overwhelming way? Which one will we be? The 400 capacity church with only 90 people in it? Or are we going to be a vibrant and authentic community that's bursting at the seams? And so my challenge for each one of us here today is this. Each of you will leave your mark at GCBCR and what future holds for this church. I call each of us to seek God, to destroy pride, and to invest sacrificially in this community. Do not be a sideline spectator. Also included in your bulletin this morning is a prayer card. This prayer card is the picture of the new building expansion, what we want to see in the next couple years. And so I want you to take this card, put it back at home, on your desk, by your laptop, in your bag, wherever it is, but put it somewhere prominent so that you can keep praying for our church. Pray for us to seek God, pray for us to destroy pride, and pray for us to invest in each other, in this community, so that it is a vibrant, authentic, and thriving Christ-focused community. Let's pray.